Good morning. Will you turn to Romans chapter 14, please? Romans chapter 14. When we don't agree, accept one another. That's the title today. Last Sunday, we had our covenant of membership. And in September and October before that, we had four different messages in one way or another about our relationships with each other and how God's people live together, are called to live together in unity. And last week we had the covenant of membership. And today we're having one more sermon on the same kind of thing. And then we'll move on to other things. This is the last in that series. Paul's letter to Rome teaches us why Jews and Gentiles can be at peace with each other in the same church. Jews and Gentiles in the church isn't a problem anymore. But it was a big challenge in New Testament churches. And being at peace with each other is no easier now than it was then, as far as that goes. The only part of Romans where we can tell that there was actually tension in the church in Rome, in the church there, is in Romans 14 and the beginning of chapter 15, our text today. Paul never mentions Jews and Gentiles in this section, although as soon as it's over in chapter 15, verse 8, he writes about Jews and Gentiles praising God together. But there's no doubt that the difficulties in our scripture come from how the Old Testament taught Israelites to live, and the problem in particular is about food. The Old Testament has strict food laws for God's people. Remember Peter, when God gave him the vision of the unclean animals and God told Peter to kill and eat in this vision, Peter said, "Lord, surely not. I have never eaten anything unclean." And it was true, he had not. And that was common for devout Jews in Rome as well. And we know from the New Testament that early Christians ate together often, normally every week. So God made clear in Acts that devout Jews were no longer bound by his Old Testament food laws, but not every devout Jew heard about that. The church in Rome started very early, but not by apostles. It probably began with Jews who were at Pentecost, and they didn't hear about what happened to Peter later. They just heard about Christ and that Jesus was the Christ, so they didn't know that all food was okay now. So we don't know quite how that church started, but it started early and not from by the apostles. So now there were Gentiles in the church in Rome, and that was a problem. So this scripture is about disagreements in the church that are not about something God has been clear about. God has been clear that we don't lie, we shall not steal, we shall not commit adultery, we shall not covet, things like that. Romans 14 and 15 are about less important matters. So that doesn't mean God has no opinion. But it does mean that there are things that where devout believers disagree and where it is not always easy to sort out what God wants. So, accept one another, don't despise, and don't condemn. Romans 14:1. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not despise the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? Do their own master, servant stand or fall? And they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Accept the one whose faith is weak. In our current debates about COVID and government regulations, we all think the other side has weak faith. Well, let's go with that then. Assume your faith is strong and you're living with the weak. God calls the strong to accept the weak. Accept the one who differs and not to quarrel or argue. Just accept them. God has accepted them. Remember that. God accepts them. In Rome, the one with strict food rules was weak. and the one without food rules was strong. Do not despise the one you are sure is stricter than they need to be. Do not despise the one you are sure is stricter than they need to be. Do not condemn the one you are sure is careless about God's will. Do not condemn the one you are sure is careless about God's will. Don't despise, don't condemn. Instead, welcome them. Chapter 14, verse 5. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. See, people on both sides of these debates are doing what they do because they want to honor the Lord. People on both sides take what God has given and thank Him for it, and do not condemn what they do or despise them for it, for they do it genuinely before the Lord. Leave the judging to the Lord. Chapter 14, verse 6. For none of us lives to ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. So, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so He might be Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Why do you treat them with contempt and despise them? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will acknowledge God." So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. My brothers and sisters, you and I are not the judges. We all have a judge. That job is already taken. The Lord Himself will be our judge. We will all stand before God's judgment seat, it says here. Each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. 2 Corinthians 5. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. We don't talk about this much, and that's too bad. Our oversimplified gospel ignores this, but Jesus says it, and Paul says it, and it's clear in the book of Revelation. We will all stand before God's judgment seat. Each of us will give an account of ourselves before God. So the job of judge is taken. This is an individual matter. Each one of us will face Christ. Our judge is our Redeemer, and that's true, and that's good news, but it's also true that our Redeemer will be our judge. Everyone is appointed once to die and then the judgment. So, let's leave the judging to the Lord. What's best for my brother and sister? Chapter 14, verse 13. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself, but if anyone regards something as unclean, for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and building each other up. I remember my home church pastor preaching on Romans 14. The same kind of sermon I'm doing now. And he said he was surprised and puzzled that Romans 14 seems to say that the one with less rules has stronger faith. It sure seemed to him to say that, although he could hardly believe it was true. But in the debate of Romans 14, that is true. When we disagree, my brothers and sisters, that does not mean God has no opinion. He does. And if Paul were here right now, he would tell us which take on the COVID controversy showed stronger faith in the Lord. But Paul's not here, so we're going to leave that alone. We do know is that the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace. Righteousness here means be completely humble and gentle, bearing with one another in love. That's righteousness. Folks, in our scripture today, being right counts for very little. It doesn't matter. What counts is that we accept and receive one another rather than arguing and condemning and despising and judging. In that sense, the will of God here is unmistakable. Let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and building each other up. What does it mean to offend a brother or sister? Chapter 14, verse 20. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. Did you notice the word destroy here? Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. It's also back in verse 15. Do not by your freedom destroy someone for whom Christ died. Don't cause your brother or sister to fall. So we're not just talking here about what displeases someone else or makes them grumpy. We're talking about what causes someone to lose their faith, or at least puts their faith itself in jeopardy. We work very hard to pursue peace and be good for each other. This scripture can be used like a club. What you're doing offends me, so Romans 14 says you have to stop. It's not that simple. The offense here is something that could end their faith. And we are sometimes displeased with each other and matters that do not threaten anyone's faith. The Paul has generally something more serious in mind, and this is not about that, except we all pursue righteousness and peace and joy and what's good for our brother and sister and what makes peace. Those are very important principles to our God. Respect your conscience. Respect your conscience. Chapter 14, verse 22. Whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. Whoever is double-minded is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. There is a place to educate our conscience. Things we thought were okay are not okay. God calls us away from that. And sometimes we learn that things we thought offended God don't. We're free to do that. So re-education needs to happen in both directions. Don't just naively follow your conscience. Take it seriously, but also evaluate it, because our consciences are not always right. But don't do what you're uncomfortable with just because someone else says it's okay. If you're not convinced God accepts something others say is okay, leave it alone. Don't just please yourself. Instead, make yourself more acceptable. You want others to accept you? Then make yourself more acceptable. Chapter 15, verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. Even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. See, there are people around you who do not see the true teaching of God as clearly as you do. bear with them. You and I don't need to please ourselves. Let's bear with them. Be like Christ toward them. Just because you are right does not mean this needs to go your way. Just because I'm right doesn't mean this needs to go my way. God accepts us just as we are. And God accepts the ones that you and I are offended with just as they are. In the 70s, it was cool for young men to have long hair and beards. Most churches had some people who were suspicious of this. And a young Christian man in those days had long hair and a beard, and he was offended by believers who didn't like this. But he also wanted to serve the church. So he cut his hair and he shaved his face so he could serve the church. He knew God did not care about his hair length. He was sure the church was wrong, and he didn't change his mind about that. But he wanted to serve, so he submitted. And those people loved him, and he loved them, and he had a good ministry there. He had his freedom to himself before God. He had the biggest freedom. He was free to submit. There's a story like this in Acts. Acts 15 is the story of a big church conference in Jerusalem. It has to do with the issue in Romans. They're deciding if uncircumcised men need to be circumcised for God to accept them completely into his people. Do Gentiles need to keep the law on Moses? In particular, do the men need to be circumcised? In Romans 14, the matter is food, but in both it has to do with do people need to keep the law of Moses. So Paul and Barnabas were in Jerusalem there, the story in Acts 15, and Peter was there, and James the Lord's brother, and many other leaders. And they listened to stories of how God accepted uncircumcised people and gave them the Holy Spirit. And so they decided together, no, uncircumcised believers do not need to be circumcised to be fully received by God. That is Acts 15. And right at the beginning of the next chapter, Acts 16, Paul and Silas meet Timothy, a godly young man, and they decide to take Timothy along with them. But Timothy was not circumcised. His mother was Jewish, his father was a Gentile, Timothy was not circumcised. So Paul had him circumcised. No fuss or debate at all. Of course, Timothy has to be circumcised. And he was. Why? Did God care? No. But they would meet lots of conservative Jews, and that was the only way to make those people comfortable. Was Paul not compromising his principles? Not at all. Paul's first principle was to be like Christ. Think like Christ, Paul said. Listen, Christ emptied himself and became a slave. Christ humbled himself and became obedient to death. Let's be like Christ. So we like freedom. Freedom in North America is not like freedom in the Bible. Freedom means we can do what we want. It is actually the opposite of submitting. In the Bible, the only freedom that really counts is freedom to submit to the common good. That's the freedom that the Spirit brings, joyful submission to the common good. Circumcision was painful, and it made you sick, and it could cause infection. It was inconvenient. Pleasing others will be inconvenient for us to bear with them and not please ourselves. But Christ did what was inconvenient so he could have us. He did not please himself so he could be good to us. So let's be like Christ. What do we need from God for this to happen? Romans 15 verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We all need God to give us endurance and encouragement for us to see the weak who fail as Christ sees them. Oh God, give us endurance and encourage us so that we can accept one another and with one voice bring glory to you. So, and then in chapter 15, verse 7, that's the last verse of our section. It's the last call. It begins, accept one another. accept one another. Chapter 14, verse 1, the opening line of our scripture began, accept one another, and it concludes with, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. So let's bring glory to God. Look at your weak and failing brothers and sisters. Let's look around us. Think about how God accepts you and me. We will treat one another as Christ treats us. And if we do that, we will with one voice bring praise to God. Amen. Let's pray the prayer that this scripture gives us. O God, give us endurance and encourage us so we can accept one another as Christ accepted us, so we can please others and not please ourselves, so we can praise you and glorify you with one voice. It would be a great mercy and a kindness from you to lead us together to this. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give us the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.